I'm going to have you think just a little bit outside of the box as I begin my homily here this evening. The passage from today's gospel, I think, could go down as one of the greatest unsolved mysteries of the New Testament. We don't hear what happened to the rich man after, other than his face fell and he went away sad. We tend to assume that he was simply too attached to his belongings to give them up and never was heard from again. But are there other possibilities? The gospel teaches us that an encounter with Christ changes people. The blind see, the paralyzed walk, the deaf hear, the lepers are cleansed, and so on and so forth. It is entirely possible that this young man, living with a different kind of blindness and paralysis, was also changed. Maybe Mark leaves this story open-ended as a way of telling us that our lives, too, are open-ended. We have choices to follow Jesus, to follow his teachings, his examples, and his commands. Jesus said, "For those who have many possessions," and we might also consider talents, prestige, power, wealth, etc., the choices are especially hard. "It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle," he said. The rich man's story should cause us to consider, in our everyday lives, what stands between us and God? What obstacles hinder us from becoming all that God has called us to be and to do? In contrast to the rich man's story of indecision, Solomon, in the first reading, in his praise of wisdom, decided to not allow anything to stand between him and God. Solomon had his priorities in order when he came to God in prayer. He desired wisdom, wisdom above all else, above wealth, riches, power, prestige, health, and light. Solomon, however, enjoyed a lion's share of everything the world had to offer, but he did not let those things cloud his vision or obstruct his resolve as he prayed first and foremost for God's gift of wisdom. And when he received wisdom, he received everything else with her. Today's psalm is a collection of petitions from a community that was in great distress. The phrase, "that we may gain wisdom of heart," as we heard in that psalm, connects the first and the second readings. Seeking wisdom is found through prayer, reading scripture, and reflection. The audience for the letter to the Hebrews was written, this audience was in danger of falling away from the faith due to the demands of Christian life and to an indifference to their calling. In Hebrews, we hear God's word is likened to a two-edged sword, a sharp two-edged sword, that can reach into the most secret recesses of our hearts. Each time the word is proclaimed, as it was here this evening, it penetrates the heart of who we are. It is meant to confront us as to where we are with our lives and how we live those lives. The two-edged sword, the word, challenges us and invites us to transformation. As we dissect the gospel, there are three messages to penetrate our hearts. First, Jesus gives the rich man and gives us the invitation to share. We are asked not to give up everything, but to wisely use those things that we have control over in God's service. The challenge is to manage our possessions wisely so that they don't control our hearts. Jesus asks the rich man to not be a prisoner of his possessions. And that kind of reminds me of a story of a man who was moving overseas. He carried a heavy amount of gold coins in a big money belt around his waist. The ship hit an iceberg and began to sink. And it was sinking so fast that people had to jump off of the ship into the water and swim to the lifeboats that were already launched. The man jumped in, but because he could not bear the thought of leaving that heavy money belt behind, he sunk to the bottom of the sea. That man was a prisoner of his possessions. Did he have his treasure, or did his treasure have him? God gives us time, talents, and treasure. God lends them to us to be used, and he desires that we use them in this world. Today's gospel challenges us to ask, how do I use my talents, my time, my treasure? For example, how much time do I give to God during the week? We have 168 hours every week, so the appropriate question might be this: how do we spend that time in prayer, in using our time, talent, and treasure in service of those who are in need? Secondly, Jesus told the rich man, "You are lacking in one thing." You know, we all have something or several things in our lives that serve as major obstacles to a wholesome relationship with God. It may not be riches. It may be something else, like judging others, anger, holding grudges, and so on and so forth. As did Solomon, may we pray and invite wisdom into our lives to counter those obstacles which prevent us from doing it Jesus' way. Third, Jesus asks us to follow him on his terms and not ours. When we follow Jesus on his terms, we will likely have crosses to bear, but deep down in the core of our being, we will find peace and joy knowing that we have done the right thing. Furthermore, Jesus said, "Those who abide by the gospel will receive 100 times more now in this present age, and eternal life in the age to come." So let us pray for wisdom. Wisdom that our possessions will not sink us as they did the man crossing the sea. Wisdom so that our faces don't fall and we go away sad. Wisdom so that we can more consistently perform the Christian values that were taught by Jesus. Wisdom so we can make the correct choices. Wisdom to do things that are beautiful for God. Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta said, "Do something beautiful for God. Do it with your life. Do it every day. But you can do it in your own way. But do it." So by sharing our time, talent, and treasure with others, we give ourselves away, but in the meantime, we gain so much, maybe 100-fold, because we're doing something beautiful for God.